Welcome to the Sportscast, June 21st, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and please like us on Facebook. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And of course, visit us at thesportscast.net. This is our first NBA draft recap, 2019. Last night was a huge event up in New York, and few predictables happen, and of course, the Zion Williamson era has begun. And to join us a little, to talk to us a little bit about it, is Kailu Borden. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Welcome, thank you, appreciate it.
So last night was a bit of a emotional night. You know, a lot of players were crying, with their dads, and of course, the highlight of last night was Zion. What were your thoughts about last night's draft?
I thought I saw a lot of surprises. A lot of teams reached in the draft. I felt like the draft wasn't very deep, so a lot of teams reached. I found some stats. 16 international players were drafted overall, 8 in the first, 8 in the second. There were no international players from pick 1 through 14. There were 3 Duke players selected, 3 Kentucky players, and 3 North Carolina players selected. So I would say there were a lot of reaches in the draft. But overall, I felt like there's some impact players and some steal. I felt like the Pelicans did a really good job in the draft. Obviously, they got Zion Williamson, but they also have a nice athletic front court player in Jackson Hayes, who can be a nice forward for them. Also felt like the Hawks did a nice job. They got Cam Reddish, who is inconsistent but is still long and lengthy. I feel like they did a really good job in the draft as well.
Yeah, we'll just go down to the list and see what your thoughts about it. Let's go, of course, number first, Zion to the Pelicans. How much of an impact will the Pelicans have with Zion?
I think it's a huge, tremendous impact. Unlike 2012, when they didn't surround Anthony Davis with talent, I think that's a win. Obviously, they got Lonzo Ball, they got Brent Ingram, Josh Hart in the trade, they got Jackson Hayes. I think David Griffin is doing a really good job building that team around Zion Williamson. They're going to bring back Jahlil Okafor. I think the Pelicans are doing a really good job, with that team.
Number two, Ja Morant went to Memphis Grizzlies.
I think that's really good. I think that they drafted Jaren Jackson last year. They're moving away from the Marcus Gasol and Mike Conley era. Obviously, they traded him to Utah. I think that's a great pickup for Utah. Gives them another playmaker with Donovan Mitchell. I think that's great for the Memphis Grizzlies. They're going to be transitioning to the fast break era. They're no longer with the grit and grind. I think that's a great start for the Memphis Grizzlies.
As you mentioned yesterday, Conley is going to the Jazz. How much of an impact will that be? Will they become Western Conference championship contenders?
I love that trade for Memphis. You only have to give Grayson Allen and a 23rd pick. I love that trade for both teams because Memphis to give them to draft John Morant is the new era with Jaren Jackson to transition into the 21st century, in my opinion. They're moving away from the grit and grind era. And for Utah, gives them another playmaker outside Donovan Mitchell because, in years past, Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs, since he's been in the league, he's always had a tremendous workload. And having Mike Conley, another, defensive player, and a scorer there will tremendously help Utah.
Yeah, big move, big surprising move. I think Grizzlies are starting from scratch, I believe. RJ Barrett going to the Knicks, will this be an impact for the New York Knicks finally?
I think it's going to be an impact for the New York Knicks. I think if they strike out in free agency, the Knicks are going to have to. I know it's been a long time. They haven't won a title since 73, and they haven't been relevant since in 25 years. But if the Knicks don't, get a free agent, they're going to have to build around RJ Barrett, Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson. So the Knicks are going to have to, sorely build themselves back up.
What I've been hearing yesterday that the Warriors can re-sign Kevin Durant and then trade him to the Knicks. Have you heard that rumor?
Yeah, I thought it was a little crazy. I didn't want to make a lot into it, but I thought it was a little crazy, given the timing of it.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Obviously, free agency starts, I believe, in 4 days, June 25th. So we're going to see a lot of movements. Of course, KD and Klay Thompson are going to be the hottest stars this summer. What's going to happen? And whatever happens, it's going to be a big impact in the NBA. Let's go for fourth. DeAndre Hunter is going to the Los Angeles Lakers. Your Lakers.
Yeah, I think it's a proposed trade. So obviously,
that's right.
We traded for Anthony Davis. So it's going to go to Atlanta Hawks. So that's why I think it's really good for Atlanta Hawks. I watch a lot of DeAndre Hunter because I watch a lot of Duke basketball, so I'm very familiar with DeAndre Hunter. This is a really good pick for them. Obviously, putting him with Cam Reddish at 10. It's a really good pick for them. He's long. He's athletic. He can really defend. He can knock down shots. He's a shot creator. He's tough. He comes from Tony Bennett's system. He's ACC tested. So I feel like this is a really good value pick what I'm to put with Trae Young and the other kid that they have, Kevin Huerter. I think this is a really good pick for them, especially for the general manager that they have in Atlanta, who is a former Warriors assistant.
Yeah, I mean, of course, Atlanta is trying to find some solution here and, you know, trying to see what's going to happen in the future of their franchise, because right now they're not the best, and they just you know, had a few players coming in and out, but just nothing has produced in a few years. So hopefully with Hunter, he might, you know, could make an impact for that team. Let's go for fifth. Darius Garland is going to the Cavs.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure how he would fit with Colin Sexton. Obviously, John Beilein's taking over from Michigan, so I'm not really sure how he's going to fit with I like Darius Garland. He only played 5 games last year. He averaged 16 points. He can really shoot the ball, but I'm not sure really how he's going to fill contact. It's a small backcourt, but I think they can do a lot offensively, but I think they're really going to struggle defensively.
Jared Culver is going to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously, he was traded by the Suns. What are your thoughts about that?
I like the fit. I think it's a really good fit with Andrew Wiggins and Carden Towns. I think that it's a young team. You got Ryan Sanders, a young coach. I really think they can grow the next couple years. It's not going to be a lot of pressure on him. So I really think that they can potentially grow in the next couple years.
Coby White is going to the Chicago Bulls.
I like the fit there. Obviously, you got Zach LaVine there. You got Lauren Marketing, who I really like. He's a really good shooter. Really nice big for them. So I really think that's another team that can continue to build and build from the ground up.
Let's go for the eighth pick. Jackson Hayes. He's a big guy going to the Pelicans. Another center.
Yeah, I actually love the move for the Pelicans because a lot of people were saying that Zion's too small to play forward. I actually love what David Griffin is doing. He's stopped power and time. Unlike the last regime, what they did for Anthony Davis, I know I keep mentioning it. Unlike the last regime, you know, the Pelicans, you know, they're going to win 30, 35 games. I mean, Zion's going to have, Lonzo Ball there. Brandon Ingram's going to be there's going to be some talent there. I like Jackson Hayes. He can really run the floor. He's good in transition. He can block shots. I think it's really good for the Pelicans.
Another international in the first 10 picks, Rui Hachimura from Japan, is going to the Washington Wizards.
I think that was a complete reach. I obviously think you could have got him in a middle round. I had targeted him to the Pacers. I read a couple mock drafts. They're not always accurate, but like they usually give you a sense of what's going to happen in the draft. And I felt like that was a complete reach. I'm not going to knock the guy, but I've seen him enough times, and I think that you could have got him late round. He's in his late 20s. I think that he's going to have a good career, but at 9, and you have no president for the Wizards, I don't think that signifies which direction the Wizards are going in. You got John Wall at 3rd. You don't have a president. What if that president is not in favor of who you drafted? So I'm not sure what the Wizards are doing, given that they don't have a president on draft day.
Number 10, another Atlanta Hawks move. They got Cam Reddish, small forward from Duke. That's a big pick.
Yeah, I love this pick. I know Cam Reddish really well. I watch all the Duke games. I know Cam Reddish really well. He had a lot of inconsistent games. And he went on First Take recently. I don't know if you saw it, but he went on First Take recently and admitted that he just didn't eat right. So I think Cam Reddish admitting that he didn't eat right in college, even though, you know, they had a lot of nutritional programs. I think it's really going to help Cam Reddish. Obviously, he has a lot of length. He has a lot of athleticism. He really has a lot of promise at the next level. The key for him is going to be about, I always want him to go to a situation that's going to be fit for him, given that he had a lot of inconsistent games this year at Duke. But I think he can be really good defender. He has a nice shot. Didn't always, you know, shoot it particularly well because he had a lot of inconsistent bumps at Duke.
Yeah, so Atlanta Hawks had 3 picks during the first 10. Cam Reddish, they had Hunter, and they got Hayes. How's the team shaping up so far?
Or the Hawks?
Yeah.
I think the Hawks are doing a really nice job. You got the general manager from the Warriors. He was an assistant. Now he's the Hawks general manager, Travis. I forgot his last name. But I think the Hawks team, you got Trae Young. You got Kevin Huerter on the wing. You got Cam Reddish. I think the Hawks team is shaping up to be Eastern Conference. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They're not going to win many games because they got to go through the experience of it. But I think the Hawks are shaping up to be a nice team going forward.
The number 11th, Cameron Johnson, is going to Phoenix. Small guard.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what Phoenix is doing there. I had him as a loser in the draft because they needed a point guard, and they took someone in their mid-20s. Cam Reddish is a good shooter, but at the 11th pick, I don't know if he necessarily warrants the 11th pick, and this isn't to knock Cameron Johnson. He's a really good shooter, but struggles with the ball handling. He's 23 years old, which normally you don't really draft someone that high, you know, late lottery. If, you know, you don't really draft someone late lottery, you know, in that spot, given he's 23. You typically go from 19 or 20-year-old kids in that, you know, area to draft.
P.J. Washington from Kentucky is going to the Charlotte Hornets.
I like it. It could be a pick-and-roll partner with P.J. Kemba Walker. I like the move. I don't really have, like, love or like or hate the move. I like the move.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really good for Kemba Walker. Gives another pick and roll partner for the Hornets.
Yes, number 13, Tyler Hero is going to the Miami Heat. Small guard. I mean, shooting guard.
Yeah, I like it for the Heat. They have a lot of guys at this position. They have Wayne Ellington. They have a lot of guys at this position. Not really sure what they're doing, if they're rebuilding, what are they going for. But I like the move. He can shoot. I watch him a lot of Kentucky. He can shoot. Definitely would be a player that's supposed to like. He's tough, sound, John Calipari. Good pick.
14th, Romeo Langford is going to the Celtics.
I think this is signals that the Celtics, I don't think Kyrie's going back. So I think Romeo Langford will fit in the rotation with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. There's talks. Al Horford may not even return. So I think the Celtics are just adding talent for the future.
French player 15th, Sekou Doumbouya is going to the Detroit Pistons. He's a power forward.
Yeah, I have no idea who this is. I gotta do some more research.
I've heard about him. I heard about, you know, one French player making it in the top 15. Let's go one more. Chuma Okeke is going to the Orlando Magic. He's from Auburn.
Yeah, I like this pick. I think before he tore his ACL, I think he's a 6'7". He can create a shot. He can shoot the three. I like this kid. I think he has some promise. He can create a shot. And I think for the Orlando Magic, you know, ball handling is always the key. I think they lost in 5 to the Raptors. So I think this is, you know, a good pick for them. You know, obviously they haven't hit a lot of home runs on their lottery picks outside 14. They haven't hit a lot of home runs on their picks. I think this is a really good value pick for them at 16.
The LA Lakers didn't have any pick last night.
Yeah,
they just traded it all off, obviously, for the Anthony Davis trade. Let's go 17th. Nikhil Alexander-Walker from Canada is going to the traded to the Pelicans.
Yeah, I love this pick, actually. I love this pick. I mean, I obviously watch a lot of ACC basketball. Virginia Tech, he reminds me a lot of Lou Williams. He can really score the ball. I think this is a really good pick for him. He's going to be really good for the bench. He's a shot creator. I think this is a really good pick.
Let's go 18th, Goga Bedadze from Georgia, going to the Pacers. I'm not sure if you know much about him.
Yeah, I have no idea who this is, so obviously we'll, you know, watch more of him in summer league.
Yeah, he plays some Serbian league, so I don't think we get those channels over here. Also, number 19th, Luka Samanic from Croatia is going to play for the Spurs, another international going to the San Antonio Spurs.
I have no idea on this pick, but I will say that the Spurs have a history of drafting successful international players, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, so I would trust that the Spurs will make prudent decisions on this one.
Who is your favorite all-time favorite player from the Spurs?
I like Tim Duncan. I'm really high on Tim Duncan. I like Manu. Yeah,
that was a good, solid
Tim
squad.
Duncan, yeah.
That was a solid 15-year squad, I feel like.
For sure, definitely.
Number 20, Matisse Thybulle is going to the Sixers. Small forward.
Yeah, I like this move, actually. I watched him a couple games I watched him a couple games in the Pac-12. He went to Washington last year. He really can, you know, he really can help the Sixers off the bench. Obviously, they had T.J. McConnell last year backing up. I think he's a really good defender. I think he's just what the Sixers need off the bench. He's a really good defender. I like him. I thought he was the second best defender in, you know, the draft outside of Zion Williamson. He's a really good defender. He can really get after on the bench. So I think he's going to be really good for that team.
Number 21, Brendan Clark is going to going to Memphis. He's from he's a player from Gonzaga. He's a power forward.
Yeah, I like him. He's a bruiser. He's great on the break. He should fit well with John Morant. You got Jaren Jackson there. That's a nice, you know, fit for him in Memphis.
We're just going to go through the first round. Grant Williams, 22nd, going to the Celtics. He's a player from Tennessee, and he's a power forward.
Oh, yeah, I like him. I think I've watched a couple of games of him in the SEC and in the tournament. I think he's a really good player. He can obviously knock down the three. He can create his own shot. He's undersized. But in the 20s, when you get late in the 20s for playoff teams, I think you could take more risks. So I think that was a really good – you can pick for them there. A really good value pick.
Let's go – okay, we got – number 23, Harius Basley. He is from Princeton. He's going to Oklahoma City, small forward.
Yeah, I didn't really get to see much of him because, obviously, last year he internshipped at New Balance. So he's a LeBron client, Clutch Sports. So I didn't really get to see much of him in high school.
That's awesome. I didn't see – oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Ty Jerome – point guard from Virginia going to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, I like this pick. This is another ACC pick. Went to Virginia, won a national title against Texas Tech. I like him. He doesn't move particularly well. Not extremely athletic. He's not going to wow you, but he gets to his spot. He can shoot the three. He can ball handle. He's tough. He can defend. I like this pick for him.
Let's go 25th, Nasir Little. He is going to the Blazers. He's from North Carolina, and he's a small forward. A lot of small forwards there.
Yeah, this is another one of those picks that obviously fell in the draft. We all know about Boy Boy. He fell in the draft. Nasir Little, you know, is projected to go higher than this. But for Portland, this is a good pick for them. Obviously, with Farouk Aminu, this is a younger player with more upside. He's tough. Watching a lot of North Carolina. He can defend. He's really good on the glass. Needs to work on his shot. But, you know, not as consistent as they thought. Highly coming into the year, they thought he could potentially be a top five pick. But he can defend. He can rebound. He's tough. Comes from Roy Williams. Well coached. I think this is a good pick for the Blazers at this spot.
26, Dylan Windler. He is going to the Cavs. He's from Belmont.
Yeah, all I know about him is he's a playmaker. Yeah,
good. 27th, Mifundo Kabagengle. He's Canadian from Florida State. He is going to the Clippers.
Yeah, I actually like this pick for the Clippers. You know, I know I've been talking about the ACC a lot because a lot of ACC players got drafted. Yeah, I like him. He's 7'3". He can shoot the ball. He can defend. Leonard Hamilton coached him last year in ACC. I think he's a good pick here for them. He's 7'3". He's raw. He's got a lot of skills to give. He's tough. You know, I think this is a really good pick for him here. He's athletic. He can really get out.
So you're saying the ACC had a good night?
Yes, they did.
28th, the Golden State Warriors. Jordan Poole is going there. He's from Michigan, and he is a shooting guard.
I like this pick for them because Klay Thompson, obviously, you know, towards ACL. So I think this is going to give him another shot maker. Another guy can dribble, ease some of the pressure off Curry. Curry's still going to have a high workload next year. But this is another shot creator for them because Klay Thompson is going to be out for a while next year. Kevin Durant's not going to be there next year. So they're going to need some more shooters next year. So this is a good pick for them.
And to stay with the Golden State Warriors, they did trade up to the 41st pick, and they got Eric Paschal. And he's a power forward from Villanova. Is there anything you can read into that?
No, I think that was a great pick for them. Obviously, you get a champion in the second round. He went to Villanova. Jay Wright coaches his guys really well. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart gets a lot of good role players. So I obviously like the pick in the second round for Golden State. I think that means Looney, Jarepko, they're all going to be competing for minutes. So I think that's a great pick for them in the 40s. getting a champion at the, in the 40s. I think that's a great pick.
Back to 29, Keldon Johnson is going to the Spurs. He's from Kentucky. Another small forward.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of forwards selected last night. I like this pick for the Spurs. Gives him another versatile player. He can spot up, shoot from three. He's got a lot of work to do creating his own shot. But at 29, when you're a playoff team, I think this is a pretty good spot to, you know, draft for upside, but, you know, have some holes.
Number 30, Kevin Porter Jr. from USC is going to Cleveland. He's a shooting guard.
I don't really know a lot about him.
Yeah, me either. Keldon Johnson, yeah, we talked about that. So overall, you would say this draft wasn't deep.
Yeah, overall, I don't think the draft was deep. I think a lot of teams reached for talent that they could have got later round. I don't think the draft was that deep, but I think you can find some role players, but where they were picked, that's not what the fan base is going to ask of them. But there's some pretty good players in this draft overall.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the 84 draft where you had Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, no, I think it was Hakeem Olajuwon. And then you got the 96 draft where you had Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, and then the 2003 where you had LeBron and Wade and Melo. That was one of the big drafts. And then arguably, I think you say, I can't remember, I think it was 2009 when Steph Curry came out of that draft too.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, this draft was definitely not deep, but you know, pretty much Zion Williamson was the highlight of last night, and he was the best pick. If anyone could get him, it was definitely going to be him. Obviously, he was crying towards the end, and this Pelican team, obviously, he's coming into a young, the players coming in from the Lakers, you know, three young players, maybe, you know, two, three seasons in. How much are we going to see a impact with the Pelicans? Are we going to see him in the playoffs next year?
I don't think we're going to see him in the playoffs because the West is deep, but I think the young players of the Lakers, like you mentioned, because they got traded, I think they somewhat have something to prove. Lonzo Ball, can he stay healthy? You know, Josh Hart, you were injured last year. You know, Brandon Ingram has this situation with his blood clot. We hope he's okay. But I think the young players of the Lakers, even though they're young, they still have experience. And the fact that they were traded once, they're not going to want to get traded again. So I think it's going to increase them wanting to, you know, contribute, and they're going to be more hungry than they've ever been because they're going to really appreciate this opportunity more and not take it for granted.
Who do you think was the winner of last night's draft?
I think the overall winner outside of the Pelicans, because that's just being obvious, and I like to go outside the box. I think the Grizzlies really did a good job in the draft. I also thought a sneaky winner, which a lot of people are not talking about, was Brooklyn. They did a lot to clear cap yesterday. They think they can get Kyrie and two superstars. So I think they really did a good job of clearing cap last night.
Now, who do you think the Nets will get besides Kyrie?
I think they were looking at Kevin Durant, but I'm not sure that Kevin Durant's really interested. I'm not sure that Kevin Durant's really interested in Brooklyn, but I think that they were, that's their goal.
Do you think Brooklyn is more attractive than playing for like the New York Knicks?
I think people still value playing for the Knicks, but the problem is the Knicks, because of instability in who they've had running the team, obviously the situation with Dolan, and they've fired their coaches and their general managers, you know, quite frequently, that's going to be a problem when you're trying to convince someone to play for you.
Yeah, I do really do agree with that. Of course, you know, we'll see what happens in free agency. The Knicks are, guys, they traded out Porzingis and, gosh, who knows who's still left. But, you know, maybe R.J. Barrett might turn things around. It might take a few years. He might be the future of the Knicks. But we'll see what happens. Another NBA news. Al Horford is entering free agency. How big of a deal is that?
I think it's huge for the Celtics. That's obviously the glue guy. I think it's huge for the Celtics. I had targeted him for my Lakers. We obviously have a lot of forwards with Anthony Davis and LeBron and Kuzma. But I had targeted him for my Lakers as a solid center with Anthony Davis. But I also think that the Lakers need to focus on going after the guard position.
Yeah, so what teams do you think Al Horford might, you know, end up? Like, what are the candidates, you think?
I think I've heard Lakers, Clippers. I've heard a couple of teams for him. I think I don't think this stage in his career he's going to go to less than a playoff team, because he was just in the playoffs. So I don't think that he really wants to go to a situation where he's not going to be in the playoffs. So I could see a potential playoff team with cap space going after a guy like Al Horford.
How much of a loss is that for Boston? I mean, like, yeah.
I think it's a huge loss for Boston, because you're going to most likely lose Kyrie. He's not out the door yet. Nothing's official until he actually signs another team. And then you lose Al Horford, you lose Kyrie in the type of player he is, a great player. And then you lose your veteran culture in Al Horford, and you're left with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think those two guys are good going forward, but you still need someone that's going to, you know, be the authority in the room. I think that's a huge loss for Boston.
Yeah, I think Boston is, I don't know, sure what happened to Boston. It felt like something was brewing. I thought they were going to win the Eastern Conference this year, and they did not pan out. Milwaukee came out of nowhere. Toronto came out of nowhere. The Sixers are still good. But what is the future of Boston? Do you think they're going to drop a few seeds?
I think Boston, they still have young talent in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which most people are high on. But I really think that Danny Ainge really dropped the ball. I think he really, even though you have a lot of draft assets, I think, you know, he really hold on to his draft assets and didn't realize his draft assets could potentially get worse. And I think he really did them a disservice this year, because, you know, he talked a lot about his draft assets and he really was doing a lot of lip service, and he really wasn't doing a lot of, like, actually, like, wanting to make the deals to help necessarily make the team better.
That's something we have to look at. Obviously, free agency is on June 25th. Do you have any predictions for June 25th?
I think Kyrie Irving, the more and more I look at, I know I've always said Knicks, but I think more and more you look at, I think Brooklyn is definitely growing by the day. I think Chris Middleton stays in Milwaukee. I think he stays with Giannis. He sees what they have there. I think Brogdon stays. I don't know what Kevin Durant's going to do. I think Klay Thompson is going to stay in Golden State because of what his father said. Socrates, a couple of those dominoes fall into pieces.
I did not know that his dad wants him to stay there.
Yeah, his dad wanted him to stay there.
That's a good sign that he might stay with Golden State. Do you think the Lakers might get one more piece, or do you think these two with LeBron and Anthony Davis is probably good for now?
I think the whole timing of it, obviously the deal is going to be done by July 6th, which I heard it should leave the Lakers 23.6 in cap instead of 32 million. So that obviously hurts us, that the max guy is going to be like around 30. So that obviously hurts the Lakers in terms of trying to get that third star. They're obviously going to have to move a couple pieces if they want to get that third star. I don't think they're getting a meeting with Kawhi. The Sixers, Stephen A. was reporting that could get a meeting, but I think it's Raptors or Clippers. Kawhi's made his intentions known. He's you know, antisocial. I think it would be foreign for me to think that he would go to the Lakers. I think Toronto's made a special impression on him. So I think it comes down to those teams. And I think the Lakers have a couple options. They can go Danny Green. They can go Brook Lopez. They can go for Markieff Morris. They can really fill the roster if they want.
How much Kuzma can bring into the table for the Lakers?
I think it's going to depend on how much work he puts in on defense. We all know about how good he is on offense. I want to see him really put the work in on defense. And I think he can average 18 to 19 points next year because, I mean, he's going to be the third leading scorer on the team. If the Lakers don't sign no one else, LeBron's going to give you 27-7-7. Anthony Davis is going to give you, you know, let's say 27-12. So you're going to need at least 19 from Kuzma and whoever else we get.
That's quite interesting. A whole lot of things to happen. D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers, can that be a possibility?
I think it's possible, but D'Angelo Russell would be leaving out, you know, some money early in his career. I think it's possible. I wouldn't rule it out. But the Lakers really, you know, I don't know if they burned the bridge, but they had to trade him because of the whole situation with Nick Young. He broke the bro code in the locker room. They obviously had to trade him. So it depends. They would have to have a conversation. It's a new regime. So they would certainly have to have a conversation in terms of if you know, he would potentially be interested in them. and then they would have to come to agreement on what the price may be for both suitors.
Be quite interesting free agency this year. Probably one of the biggest summers. A couple of years ago was the Kevin Durant a whole fiasco going to Oakland, and of course LeBron James in this past few times. But anyways, let's get into anything else before we head into game predictions.
I just want to talk about last night in the draft.
Go ahead.
Boy was selected. Obviously, a lot of people, he was late in the draft. Teams have a lot of medical concerns about him. So I just hope the guy really, you know, finds in the NBA, really, you know, grinds in the NBA because, you know, came from Oregon. Teams had, you know, character concerns. So I just hope he puts it all together and really gets it right so they can go to the NBA and do well.
We'll see what happens. These players, they're young. They're getting into new teams that, you know, that need help. And we'll see if they could turn things, you know, things around. Or if we can, you know, look back at 2019 at the NBA draft. Wow, it was a significant year. We'll see. Only history can tell. Let's go into predictions tonight. Houston at the Yankees.
I think the Yankees are going to win. Aaron Judge is coming back. The Yankees won 10-6 yesterday. So I think the Yankees are on a 6-game win streak. They're 20-100, 47-27. I think they keep their momentum going. And they also win tonight.
Miami at Philadelphia.
I think Philadelphia wins. Miami is one of the worst teams in the league. I think Philadelphia capitalized off the opportunity, and I think they win by 3 to 4 runs.
3 to 4 runs. Okay, let's go San Diego at Pittsburgh.
I think Pittsburgh wins.
Minnesota at KC.
Minnesota by 6 runs. Kansas City is one of the worst pitching teams in the league. Minnesota is one of the top home run teams in the league. I think Minnesota gets it done by a lot tonight.
What are your thoughts about Tampa splitting their time between Montreal and Tampa?
I think it's just not a good idea. I think it's a disgrace to the city of Tampa. I've had problems with the city of Tampa because the Yankees played Tampa a lot, and we're in the same division. You know, the stadium, you know, in Tampa, it's a mess. They have a lot of electrical problems. I think it's a dumb idea. I think going forward, their lease is up in 2027. This just signals there isn't going to be baseball in Tampa. You can't split two teams and try to convince the people in Tampa that you're with them and then also be splitting it. And then I've seen something that they're going to play half their games in the first half in Tampa and then the other half in Canada. It's not feasible for not only Rays but for Major League Baseball and also the teams that are in your division. That's extra travel, extra wear and tear. I just think they're going to have to make a decision if the team could be kept in Tampa.
Yeah, it's very preliminary, very early plan, so we'll see what Major League Baseball does in Tampa and Montreal, because Montreal doesn't have a team.
I think the team would be good in Montreal, but going forward, I just don't see how you can keep a team in Tampa.
Yeah, just to split it like that, it's just kind of weird, but I don't know. I don't know what their plans are going to be, if it's going to happen or not. Random question, what is your favorite milkshake flavor?
Oh, vanilla. Love vanilla. It's go-to.
That's very good. Vanilla is rock solid. And, of course, how can people reach you, Kailu?
They can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12, lowercase, and they can reach me on Instagram at KailuB123.
We'll have you for the free agency time when things start to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Trades and everything else. So, I mean, it's going to be throughout the summer, but I know like the first week is going to be pretty hectic. But anyways, you can follow us on thesportscast.net with all the latest and all the podcasts and articles, and read the latest article from Justin Riley about Anthony Davis and everything else. So it should be a very exciting summer. A lot of things going on. NBA free agency. We got some college football news coming in, NFL, we got some tennis, we got some baseball coming along, and of course we got 3 soccer tournaments going on right now. But anyways, Kailu, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you.